We're coming in hot with inspiring guests, witty banter, and colorful commentary for today's veterans and military community. This is the Tango Alpha Lima Podcast.
They call me crazy because I'm facing all my giants. They try to scare me into thinking I can't fight it. They tell me I should never even think of trying. But that's just me, I'm gonna live out in defiance.
Hello, Alphas. Welcome back to the Tango Alpha Lima Experience. Look at over there. That's Ashley Gudermuth. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Much better that you're here. There's been a little bit of controversy in the community, mostly started by me. And I'm kind of choosing my friends by which side it's on, and I need to know your position on this.
Okay.
How do you pronounce the word V-E-T-E-R-A-N?
Oh my God. I toe the line. I go back and forth. Is it veteran? Is it veteran?
It's a three syllable M-F and beep and beep, beep, beepity beep word.
Veteran.
Veteran, not veteran.
Veteran, and America.
America. And I just don't get it. And it makes me cringe every time somebody says veteran. I don't know. Is it worth blood pressure? Or should I just let it go?
Maybe just pick your days.
Pick your days. This is the day where you can say this and it will not bother me. I could also just take medication for it. And speaking of drugs, I think you have a story for us.
Yes. Topic number one, Navy SEALs recruits take performance drugs to pass training, report from businessinsider.com. Would-be Navy SEALs have been known to use performance-enhancing drugs like testosterone to make it through the infamously difficult, sometimes deadly training course for the elite teams, and leadership hasn't set up a system to stop them, according to the New York Times. A new report released by the Department of the Navy raises concerns about the elite military course after a high-profile death in the program last year. The Times' Dave Phillips reported, among the issues listed in the report is that Navy leadership was aware of the substance use but did not test recruits to prevent it and failed to provide medical supervision to curb the increased intensity of training that left some SEAL candidates hospitalized or dead. A total of 11 SEAL candidates have died during training over the years, according to Navy report. All right, we need to say how many years that is over the years. Come on, New York Times. The training to become a Navy SEAL includes a 24-week program known as Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL or BUDS training. Recruits are required to complete grueling tests of physical and mental fortitude, such as Hell Week, a six-day period of more than 200 miles of running, nearly constant exposure to freezing cold, damp environments, and severe sleep deprivation. The new Navy report released May 25th is the result of recent scrutiny of the infamously grueling training program for candidates hoping to join the ranks of the elite special operators known as SEALs. In February 2022, one such candidate, Seaman Kyle Mullen, died during the program's most notorious period of physical and mental challenges known as Hell Week. Mullen suffered from pneumonia and was coughing up blood for days, but an officer told his fellow recruits not to call 911 because it could interfere with training, the Times reported. Through the program's 70-year history, 10 other candidates have died and many have been seriously injured. Navy SEAL candidates reportedly use PEDs, P-E-D, like testosterone, growth hormone, and Viagra. Oh, okay. didn't read ahead there. to get through training. Now we're going to do a hard pivot. After Mullen's death.
No, change your
oh,
phrasing.
God. Wait a minute. This is one of those times. Ashley, I don't realize what I'm saying. After his death, a subsequent Navy.
Sorry, I'm cracking up because
it's hard to transition into. We're talking about something terrible that happened. And
it's
then
difficult.
It is difficult. It's hard. No, we'll just cut. We're going to take the emotions and we're going to go right back in and then
ready?
We will readdress this.
Mm-hmm. Woosah.
After Mullen's death, a subsequent Navy investigation found performance-enhancing drugs in his car, including testosterone and human growth hormone. Several other SEAL candidates were removed from the program for drug use following the investigation. The Times also previously reported that Mullen and other SEAL candidates used Viagra against medical advice to offset health issues from training, like fluid buildup in the young lungs from cold water swimming. The report detailed that substance use has been a pervasive problem among SEAL recruits for more than a decade. And while the Navy is aware of the problem, leadership has never implemented a system of testing to detect or enforce drug violations, according to the Times. I'm going to need a minute.
Right. Wow. I can't imagine what the Viagra is for, except maybe deploying a rudder for when they're swimming.
Yeah. Huh? Well, it's like a building. It becomes a building material.
It's very weird. But is SEAL, and fair transparency here, I've never been to Bud's training, so in case anybody was wondering, is it open door, like at night, can you just go places and buy drugs? I mean, I thought it would be
confusing that they had access to their car even.
Yeah, I thought it would be like a boot camp where you are there. Like you're there, you sleep there, you eat there, you train there, you don't leave, you don't get to hang out. Where are they getting all these drugs? Which then makes me think, did the government actually know about it and turned eye? Because I don't know. And what does that say about the service after? I'm assuming that you're training for mission, and if the mission is as grueling as the training, are you going to need to continue to use performance enhancing drugs, and which, you know, eventually break down the body, and they can only help you perform for so long, and then, you know, it starts breaking down the body. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's Viagra. You can only perform for so long. I'm going to use this as a time to plug the Navy SEAL. You love how Navy SEALs write books. Well, my buddy McBee is on Instagram as MC Teams. He wrote the book Uncommon Grit, A Photographic Journey Through Navy SEAL Training. And it's just a super awesome book. You can get it on Amazon. And it's all kinds of pictures of like Hell Week and all the different things and underwater stuff. And it's just really well done. I'm working with him on he's one of the partners for my food insecurity program that I do with the Stronghold Community Pantry out of Leavenworth, Kansas. And I'm going to go do comedy at the Bone Frog Open, which is a golf fundraiser for fallen Navy SEAL members. So that's going to be in the fall. But here's my take. All right. Let's circle back a little bit. Do you remember when we interviewed a few months ago, we interviewed the guy that went to Iraq, I believe, and was trying to find they were going through the vet clinics and they were finding the chemicals that ISIS had left behind, and they had ransacked all those places. And he said that when you are in those countries, you would meet guys that were absolutely massive because they were all just roided out. You know, they're all on steroids. Okay. I don't understand. I hesitate to bring this up because I want to make a joke about this. I want to make a joke in my stand-up act about it. So let's workshop it a little bit here. Why do we care if elite teams like Navy SEALs use performance-enhancing drugs? Is there any benefit to being like, yeah, man, did you get bin Laden naturally or were you on testosterone? Like, I don't care. I want you to have everything that you could possibly use at your disposal. Now, when you're in training, I guess it's a whole different story. There's a lot of things you're trying to prove, but post that, use whatever you got, right?
No.
What? If other countries are using drugs to make themselves bigger, faster, stronger, how are we not being left behind by not doing it if the people are willing?
No, because certain performance enhancing drugs don't just make you bigger, faster, stronger. They impair your judgment. They make you temperamental.
Yes.
And you, No, American military is not about raging to go get bin Laden. You do very precise, you do very precise missions and operations. That's why a SEAL team can get in, do their job and get out without attracting the attention of everybody in a 5 mile radius. They're eat beef, I guess.
Eat beef. So we want the cows to be roided out. We give them steroids and we're good with that. The party line, everybody, is don't do performance enhancing drugs unless you're a rival country. I guess that's what we're saying.
Yeah. And we're still undefeated. Just saying. Okay. You know who else is undefeated? Our guest today. I mean, that's not true. We're going to find out about her one defeat. Today we'll be joined by April Sprints, who served in the Air Force and is currently, because of that service, an Air Force veteran. And she was a news anchor for AFTV, was named by New York Weekly as one of the top 22, very specific, entrepreneurs of 2023, and is the creator of the Generosity Culture. We'll be right back to learn more about the Generosity Culture and more with April right after the break.
The American Legion is raising awareness about PTSD and veteran suicide by offering hope, camaraderie, and support.
Be the one to help end veteran suicide.
The goal of the American Legion's Be the One campaign is to destigmatize asking for mental health support.
Be the one to ask a veteran in your life how they're doing.
Be the one who saves one veteran.
Go to betheone.org and help the American Legion end veteran suicide.
Will you be the one?
All right, Alphas, I hope you had a great break because now we are back with April Sprints. I think I said that correctly. She's done everything, as I have already told you. And today we're going to feel a little imposter guilt because she's been a television news anchor. She's on, she hosts a global top 10 podcast. She even did a NASCAR race in Afghanistan 1 year after 9/11. She has done everything, and we are learning as we go along. Maybe after you can huddle with us digitally here and give us some tips and tricks. And I apologize ahead of time for being the amateur that I am. I mean, Ash is great, but I'm still learning and trying to get a handle on this. So thank you for coming down and spending time with us. And I hope that your day has already started great.
Yeah, 100%. And Jeff and Ashley, thank you for having me. And I bet you are both far better than you give yourself credit for.
No, just the way you just said that line is better than anything we've ever done.
Yeah, 100%. Do you want to join the podcast?
Right. Holly, we quit.
At Ashley, and I don't think I have cool enough hair to join the podcast. I am.
You got to go for the high hair. This is the parrot look.
I've got hair envy like crazy over here.
I used to have super long. It was super long hair, and I would get it cut. Nobody cared. And now what I do is I just take one picture of me with this hair and get thousands of comments of abuse on the internet. So it's a lot more attention.
I think it is just awesome. I am about
thank
it.
You.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love hair talk. So again, thank you so much. And I'm excited to get in and I'm so excited to get in to all of the things that you have done, are doing, and will do, but I don't get to start this thing. I'm the amateur here. I have to hand it over to the professional, Ashley Gutermuth.
To the professional. Heck yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Okay, April, you were named one of the top 22 entrepreneurs of 2023 by New York Weekly. You're known as a business accelerator and leading sales expert, and you help companies to increase their revenue, even if they are, it sounds like, very much in the red and have no idea what they're doing. You come in on your white horse and you're just like, bam, let me sprinkle some magic dust in here. Do you think that what you do, and I know you're a veteran entrepreneur, you have all of these cool things happening in your life. Do you think that what you do now with helping businesses grow, is that a talent that you innately have, or is it just a matter of hard work?
I think that's a great question. So I think it's a combination of both. And part of it is, this is something that I have done in some way, shape, or form in every role I've ever had, even when I was in the service as a broadcaster, optimizing, growing things. And then to an extent, the fact that I have a really varied background and I've been in all these different industries and I've seen the way different operations have been run has been super helpful. So the hard work there, and I say hard work because I have never had a job, Ashley, where somebody didn't say no before they said yes. Yeah. I've always had to try really hard to get hired. Even in the Air Force, I failed the first broadcasting audition.
Oh, no.
I think that hard work definitely pays off. And the more of it you do, the easier things seem to come to you because you're good at when they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I think that there's probably something in it that you like what you're doing. I like when there's like different perspectives, you know, people that swim against the grain. I'm mixing metaphors. It's great. It's salmon that are swimming against the grain.
You're creating a metaphor recipe. Positive thinking.
These are my talents. when something starts to work and you feel yourself in that lane, you're the salmon in the lane, right? And you're just swimming and you're going with it. You're not trying to go upstream. The people that try to go upstream, they think that by putting that, because it's so hard, that it must be right in a way. But I feel like once you figure out what it is that you're really good at and you see that how fast that can grow, like with what you're doing, it's like a magical recipe.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I don't think it has to be hard to be right. I think that the more right it is, to your point, the easier it feels. And if you're swimming upstream, you're not wrong. You're just in the wrong stream. That is not for you.
Get out of that stream.
Can I say the underlying message of what you guys are saying is absolutely correct. The metaphor that you're using is absolutely wrong. Salmon swim upstream on purpose.
I know it's the whole mating thing, but think about how many more salmon we would have if they went downstream.
None of their eggs would survive.
Wrong mindset. I think there's another way to do it. As a matter of fact, as another career later in retirement, I'm going to do for salmon.
We're going to start a salmon business.
A salmon training business. Wow. And then the bears will hate you because they won't be able to eat. Anyway, so awesome work. I didn't say thank you for your service. You were in the Air Force, but you're so impressive. I'm not even going to make any Air Force jokes.
Being I love it.
Air Force.
Right? You know, one time I went to LA Air Force Base. This is off topic real quick. And I asked for a military haircut. Okay. I said, I know you probably don't get a lot of requests for those, but I need a military haircut. And I went out and I took a picture and I posted it. And I said, the Air Force can actually do a military haircut. And my friend, David Austin, United States Marine, I don't know if he's retired, but he's a veteran. He goes, it's the Air Force. They're highly skilled with anything having to do with a chair. You're in good hands. Nice. I think he was waiting many, many, many years to spring that joke, and he got to do it, and he's welcome. All right, April, I'm super interested, intrigued, and mystified just by the title, Generosity Culture. It has a registered after it, so I have to say it properly, The Generosity Culture. So, behind that name, what are we talking about with the generosity culture?
All right. So first of all, Jeff, you are the first and only person to honor the actual roles and rules around anything that has a registered trademark. I'm very impressed by that. I don't know if you just worked at the trademark office. The generosity culture is actually a great way to explain the process that I use to help scale businesses, whether it's entrepreneurs or larger companies, because it is the framework and really the foundation of everything I do. And it's super simple. It has three principles. One is to pour into your people, the other is to pour into your clients, and to pour into your community. And by doing those three things, you can grow the revenue and the scale of your business incredibly quickly and also do it throughout things that might have negatively impacted other businesses, like recessions or everyone quitting their jobs and quiet quitting and those sorts of things, don't impact businesses that implement these principles.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
But you have an opportunity here to be a world saver.
Okay.
So recruitment is basically sales. Mm-hmm. Right? Like recruiting new members to an organization like, I don't know, the American Legion. If you were to give some advice to posts that, you know, posts are, they're basically small business, small nonprofit businesses, 501c19 small businesses. What sales / recruiting advice would you give them? And I'm only saying this because I heard words that you use about pouring into things that I think are important in this process.
No, 100%. So my number one piece of advice would be to pour into the members, the people that you already have. And I'll give you a great example in the corporate and retail world that people may not think of. So Costco, as a company, pours into every single one of their members in the way that they serve them, in the value that they offer with their products and services, in the fact that they recognize that people pay to shop with them. And because of that, they treat them better than people are used to experiencing at a store, even if it's a high-end retail store. What is so interesting about it is Costco does not pay for any advertising. They don't pay for any kind of ads, any kind of marketing. Anything you see about Costco, someone is actually just saying as a member, whether they're on television or anything. They used to be a client of mine, and they will not pay for advertising. Now, what's interesting is people become an evangelist about their products and about their services. If you pour in to your Legion members, so will they. And when it comes to recruiting, even in the services, there are a limited amount of recruiters, but they are an extraordinary member or number of service members. If they're evangelists about their experience, you don't have to spend the time and money advertising and recruiting that you did before. Where that time and money should go is pouring into the people.
So Legion Post, did you hear that? So what she's saying is we spend a lot of our time focusing externally on generating new people. That's one or two people putting all of that effort into it, probably at your post. When the idea, and I'm going to paraphrase for April here, she's the professional and she speaks very professional. I'm a Marine and I'm talking to you people right now. So what she's saying is be good to your people, serve them well, and make them love the organization so much that they can't shut up talking about it when they're out and about. Boom. And then the other thing you said that intrigued me was pouring into your community. Because one of the things we ask people is, if your post no longer existed, would anybody notice? 100%. That's a real wake up moment if you think about it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and whether you are a nonprofit or a for-profit, there is a symbiotic relationship between businesses and the communities that they are within. And that doesn't matter if it is a small local community, regional, global, there is a relationship there. And there's not just the impact of the community and how you're helping, and in turn, how the community then gravitates towards you as a member of that community. But there's also something additional that I think a lot of people lose sight of, which is some people are working with your organization because it's their dream. Some people are working with your organization because they need a job. And for those people, they need more purpose. They need something that will pull them out of bed. Great Places to Work did a survey of over 700 companies, including nonprofits, several years ago, and found that people who knew that their company or organization served their community were 13 times more likely to want to come to work.
Wow. And I think that magnifies in the fact that Legion members are not paid, obviously. We pay dues to belong to the organization, but that mission focus that you just talked about, that having that mission focus in the community, I think is a boon, not only to, as you say, pour into your members, it gives them a purpose, a part of being something bigger than themselves, which we already know is in their DNA because they joined the military. Mm-hmm. It's also communicating a message to the community, which is full of people who are potential members, not only of the Legion. They don't have to be veterans. They could be eligible for our auxiliary or our sons. Please go to legion.org if you need to find out the eligibility requirements, because we do not have time to discuss that here today. So you were talking to the community, and there's also donors and all that sort of stuff out there, but you have to, as you say, pour into the community to take advantage of those things. So thank you for doing that. And I knew I was excited about the generosity culture for a reason, and because, you know, we have a big membership mission here.
Well, do we want to talk tactics? Because it's one thing to say pour in, right? It's another, yes. Okay, but how do I do that? Especially specific, right, to your organization. The first thing I would ask is, what is it about the Legion that the people who are part of it, who are the most engaged, the most excited, what do they love? And the people who are part of it and they're either leaving or they're not really participating, what do they dislike the most? Right there, those two answers will tell you what you need to start to look at to tactically pour in. And that's how you could really come up with a great strategy that would suit you.
That's outstanding. And I'm going to go ahead. It's not self-serving, but I know a post that would love to be an example for you, a showcase of all of your talents and grow our membership to levels that we've never seen before. I'm just kidding. I would never ask you to do that on air. I'll talk to you later. All right, Ashley.
I'll talk to you later. You know, when you mentioned the generosity culture, giving back, and sort of, I see that as not being graspy as a person, not being desperate as an organization. It makes me think of the biggest YouTuber, Mr. Beast. You guys know him?
I don't.
Mr. Beast is absolutely massive YouTuber. He's in his like 20s. And I think he's based in North Carolina. And basically he reinvests everything that he does back into the company, but also he'll do things like he paid for something like 100 people's cataract surgeries. He goes and makes it, he has food banks. He has, he bought houses for all of his employees and family members on one street. And it's interesting because he makes so much money. It's something like $150 million a year, something crazy. And because he does so much of that, the tide turns a little bit. Like he did, he was in the news for doing all these cataract surgeries, and basically what he's doing, he films it and he highlights how this is not a terribly expensive surgery, but there's so many people suffering because right. They can't afford it. And you can see that because he has so much money, even though he's reinvesting it, the tide kind of turns where people turn on him a little bit. Like, why did you film it? Why did you make it noticeable? Why did you let people? So I think that there's something to be said for how big, I mean, just, he's just an example that springs to my mind, how big you can grow just by putting things back in, into your community.
Well, and you bring up a great example there, Ashley, that goes into the mindset portion of this, which is those people who are reacting negatively, that has nothing to do with Mr. Beast and everything mm-hmm. to do with them. So one of the things that the generosity culture is very big on is really have an integrity with yourself, understanding what you're doing and what your intent is. Therefore, folks like that who have something negative to say about, well, you could do more, or this isn't a big deal because you have this much, you have integrity with yourself and your intent to help. And so those naysayers, which they're there, you know, folks in their grandmother's basements have to have something to do mm-hmm. and right. they don't get to you.
It's true. You know, I do a lot of social media stuff. I'm a stand-up comedian and I'm always posting clips or trying to do silly things. And, I get a ton of hateful comments and they don't bother me at all. What I want really is interesting comments. Interesting insults are the best, you know, something where you're like, somebody put, there's a slight amount of thought. Like a lot of the things I get are, you look like a man, or you don't have a husband, or, you know, I'll get all these like ridiculous things that are the same over and over again. And you're just like, it's just boring. But I respond back genuinely. And I say, look, I understand that something about me triggered some emotional response in you and some insecurity. Like, I hope you have a nice day kind of a thing. And what's amazing to me is there's, depending on how many views the video has, you'll get like a ton of those nasty comments. But I also get people that will apologize, or they'll send me a message afterwards and it'll say, hey, you know, I was drunk. I'm super sorry. I didn't, like, I shouldn't have said what I said. And I have a whole folder on my phone called People Who've Changed, and they say horrific things at the beginning. And just by being nice to them and being like, hey, I hope you have a great day. You don't have to spend time with me. They're just like, it takes all of the energy out of it.
Oh yeah. Wind straight out of the sails. And you know, you could have been that person for them, right? They start looking at, you know, why am I reacting like this to people? And what could I look at my app with myself so that I'm happier overall? I think that's huge. I love that you do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. But why didn't you DM it? Why'd you have to do it in public? I mean, it's the same as Mr. Beast filming the cat. I mean,
it's true. It's true. Just, I'm going to send him a carrier pigeon next time.
So April, I'm assuming that the generosity culture concept and ethos, we're going to call it that now, carries over into everything that you do. And I want to ask about, because it's another name. I love your naming strategies here. I really want to hear more about Warrior Rising. That's
not my naming strategy. That credit definitely goes to someone else, but thank you.
Oh, did you consult them on this, or you just like-minded brilliance came together to work together? I'm going to go with that.
Well, I'm a volunteer. I am a mentor with their organization. It was started by Jason Van Camp, I think back in 2012, and he's a former Army Green Beret, and he wanted to give veterans the right to earn their future and helping them become entrepreneurs and really walk them through that process. So Warrior Rising, I think, was his brainchild and that name, and I think it's fantastic because you can just, it embodies so much about what happens both when we're in the military and I think as entrepreneurs.
I mean, can you think of, I want to name a movie after that. I have no story. I have no idea.
The story will write itself.
Yeah, ChatGPT will write it. Write me a screenplay called Warrior Rising. And so just a quick follow-up since we're on this, and that one you answered so quickly. This one you did do, because I'm reading it.
Okay.
Where I can learn more about this mindset that I'm now kind of absorbing. It's Winning Mindset Mastery Podcast.
Yes.
You have your own, that your top 10 global podcast?
How to. Yes. How to.
Top 10 global. Okay. We're top 10 in the Legion. I think there's only one.
When I was AFN, we were the number one rated newscast at AFN.
There you go.
We were the only one, but it didn't matter.
But it didn't matter. And you know what's funny? I failed my first podcast audition. Holly told me, yeah, you should probably think about doing something else. Super producer Holly said that to me. Yes, rude she lady. Did.
It's very motivating. Helps us get better.
She's like, I knew that would spark him. He's so egomaniacal that he would figure it out. Okay, so you have this Winning Mindset Mastery Podcast.com. When all the alphas tune into this, not if, when, and you spike in popularity, what are they going to learn?
Well, at first the Winning Mindset Mastery Podcast, they are going to love, I think, because a lot of folks have that it's 10 minutes or less. They're right. How-to episodes with quick things that you can implement, and you can fit them into those little time periods where you're waiting, you don't have anything to do, but you don't have time to invest in a longer form podcast. But it was actually someone who listened to a lot of my material who came to me and said, April, I love what you say about mindset. And I love how you say that we need to have a good mindset that empowers us. But how? Like, what are the steps? How do you do it? And it was such an enlightening moment for me, because I think sometimes once something becomes really ingrained and integrated for you, you don't realize how many other folks are still at the place you were with it a little bit in the past. So I got really motivated to get that out into the world and help people create, I say a winning mindset, because, you know, people say a growth mindset is good and a fixed mindset is bad. And I think we're on a spectrum depending on what the subject is. I have a growth mindset all day long about business, but you try and get me to snowboard and you're going to see me go into fixed really quick because I'm not good at it and I'm scared about my back. So helping people find a way to empower themselves and develop a winning mindset, because that's just a mindset that puts you in a place where you feel like you can do anything.
And let's add that you live in South Florida, so snow and all of that is probably gross to you.
Not about that life. No, not about that life. No, don't like to be cold.
Yeah. I grew up in Michigan. I still don't like to be cold. I do, and I don't see how going down a hill, increasing the wind chill when it's already really cold, is fun.
Look, I think it's fantastic, and I really wanted to do it until I realized how hard it was, and it just was not for me.
Well, there you go.
But I think if I had been younger, I would have done it differently.
Something's making sense. Air Force.
I know, right?
Jeff, you just said you didn't want to be chilly. You're making fun of her.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Look, he'll lay on the sand and be bitten by ants while he's doing PT, but do not get him cold.
Do not let that marine get cold.
No, I don't. I moved for a reason, but I still love you, Michigan. Go blue. So there you are, and so you even have shorter stuff on Instagram. You're everywhere. I think you and Ashley are probably going to be Insta friends.
Insta buddies. Oh, I would be honored.
Insta buddy. Let's do it. I feel like I see a book in your future. How do you feel about that?
Well, I actually wrote a book, but I could definitely write another one.
I see one in your past as well.
You've got 360 vision there.
I could definitely write another one. It is a book, actually. It's six short stories. It is about mindset, but it's six short stories from my life, one of which is about that failed Air Force audition. And the mindset lessons that it taught me, it's called Magic Blue Rocks. And it starts when I was 6 years old and found out I was poor and decided to start a business to get me and my family out of poverty.
Wow. Awesome.
Well, based on watching The Jeffersons and the fact that I saw a gentleman who owned a bunch of dry cleaners back in the early 80s and moved on up. And I wanted to do that too.
Moving on up.
You don't sing. Do you sing? Can you?
Not well. Jay, okay. Or Jeff, it's not going to happen.
Not today.
She was so mad she reduced me to an initial.
I know. Wow. I was trying to soften the blow, and then I was like, you don't know Jeff like that. Just say his full name.
What are your plans? What's coming up in this next year for April? What are your goals? You going to take over the world?
You know, it's so funny when you said, what are your plans? What I always want to say is total world domination. I don't know why. I think because I've never had the chance, but that's not really it. It's to help as many people as possible. So one of the things that I've done with my business is, though I still work with a lot of companies and big companies, is start to move into working more with entrepreneurs. And the reason for that is because I love the idea of, like, Don King, who was a fantastic promoter and in a way a kingmaker, right? How can I help you be a world changer? And that's the way that I'm helping people with my business and helping entrepreneurs who may not know exactly where they want to go and what they want to do scale really quickly. Because while it can be so fun to do it for companies, you can make tens of millions of dollars for companies and it's a rounding error. You make a few million dollars for an entrepreneur and it's life changing. So that's the direction that I'm heading in with my business and building out the education arm to just really help people go exactly where it is that they want to go. And maybe somebody else told them it's impossible. And I'm here to tell them, no, it's not impossible. And we can do it quicker than you think.
I think that's awesome. I'm already on your website, drivenoutcomes.com. I'm going to subscribe. I'm into it. You've sold me. Let's grow this comedy business.
Let's do it.
And you can listen to her podcast on your daily runs.
Yeah, I do run every day. I've ran every day for 8 years, April. It's a problem. Impressive. People just celebrate
every
my OCD.
Day, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even no sledgehammer day.
With the sledge.
I got hit by sledgehammer yesterday. I ran through COVID. I had gotten hit by two cars. I fell in a gopher hole and cracked my ankle. You just strap it up and you keep going.
Oh, you are fantastic. You know what? I got to tell you, I can't believe when you, I covered my face because you said hit by two cars. I was like, the same one?
separate times.
Bless your heart. Okay, I got to tell you, my friend Jill Johnson is going to, you two are like peas in a pod. I'm going to have to tell her about you because she's just.
Yeah, let's do it. I want to meet her.
I love it.
That's awesome. So April. You have so much going on from your, you don't even have humble beginnings. I mean, I don't even know where to start with you. So you're in the Air Force and you're a news anchor and an executive producer. We didn't even bring that up. And an audience of 75 million, kind of like us. Then you moved on to do bigger and better things. And then you cultivated all of your experiences and knowledge and you teach and share with others. And you do, you pour back in because you're teaching on this podcast, not our podcast, but your own podcast, and you're teaching on Instagram and you for $0 and 0 cents, but you find a way to live an amazing life. And there's just a lot for people to look to aspire to, right? There's also a lot that people can hate, which means that you're doing a great job. So to all you haters out there, she thanks you. And to all of those who aspire to have some of these things, I'm sure she wishes you the best and hopes that you're going to go to her sites so that she can aid you on your path. She can be the AI GPS to success that you've been looking for. AI GPS. See?
You're impressing yourself. I can see it on your face. So good. You know, we're talking about, you know, all the things that this cluster that was my whole career and all the things that I've gone through and what it led to. And it reminds me of sales great, may he rest in peace, Zig Ziglar. And it is so true that you can have everything that you want if you just help enough people get what they want.
Mm. Very cool. And I would say, you've listed three motivations, examples or whatever, the Jeffersons, Don King, and now Zig Ziglar. Now for Don King, you're going to have to up both your volume and your hyperbole if you want to get into that sphere.
Hey, look, I'm not copying that gentleman. I'm just inspired by him. And yeah. Believe it or not, one of my mentors was one of his mentees.
Oh.
And so I've heard some really phenomenal stories, and that volume and that hyperbole, and you'll recognize this because you guys do video and radio, that was for the audience. And then yeah. The man himself was so humble and so about empowering the people that he was promoting. I am fascinated by what he did.
Wow. And I see another theme because you like Don King and you like Ashley and their unique hairstyles.
Oh, I do have Don King hair. That's a good point.
Yeah. All right, Ashley, I think that you may have some parting words because I was almost going to say goodbye to April, but I'm trying to stretch it out. I'm trying to stretch it out because we're getting free education. So
yeah, well, no, she's great. And we should pay. Everybody should pay veterans for their services, pay the military spouses, pay the veterans. Go to drivenoutcomes.com. Listen to her podcast, Winning Mindset Mastery. Subscribe to it.
And her Insta.
Let's boost it up. And go to her Insta, April. So it's APRILSHPRINTZ. And why did I spell it out? Because I knew that I was not going to pronounce your last name correctly.
Sprints?
I was like Guttermouth Gudermouth. I didn't know what I was going to do. But thank you so much for chatting with us. We're going to hook up on LinkedIn. You got YouTube channels. You're everywhere. You're taking over the world. And I'm excited to see it.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
No, thank you. And Alphas out there, I hope that you're appreciative of all that, the free knowledge that April has bestowed upon us today. And you can continue your lessons, continue your education and your path to success in all of the places that super producer Holly is going to have in the show notes. This could be one of the most valuable show notes that we've ever printed to date. Now we're going to go ahead and talk about her. We've been really nice to her face. Who knows what we're going to say about her when she's not here. She, like you, will have to tune in and see what we say about her. But for now, you can prepare yourself and have yourself a little break.
Honoring those who came before us. The American Legion pays perpetual respect for all past military sacrifices to ensure they are never forgotten by new generations. We are veterans strengthened in America. We are the American Legion.
And we are back, Alphas. That was so much. I don't want to say too much because it was awesome. It's all great information. It was very condensed. It was nutrient-rich environment of knowledge. What do you have as a takeaway, Ashley Gudermuth?
I'm all in. I'm Team April all the way. She's doing the things that I like. She's giving back to people and also building up businesses. She's a little miracle worker, and I'm here for it.
Right? It's June, but you know what? All about April. And right now, we're all going to be all about the favorite part. And I've done a poll of three people. And this is the favorite part of the show. It's called Rapid Fire. Can I get an echo on that at some point? I'm going to record it and send it to you, Holly. All right, Rapid Fire number one. Be the one day. Start June 1st, or as we like to say, started June 1st. And you can jump in every other month from now to whenever we decide to stop doing it. All right, this is from the esteemed publication, theamericanlegion.org. On the first day of every month, Resolution 13 urges Legion family members to wear a Be the One item to show their commitment to reducing the stigma around mental health issues among veterans and service members. And to start a conversation about what Be the One is and how to save the life of a veteran. Legion posts should also promote Be the One on the first day of every month. We ask that all American Legion family members wear a Be the One item, anything that signals your personal commitment to Be the One to save one veteran, says American Legion Marketing Commission Chairman Paul Evenson. Is that right? Evenson. During his report to the NEC at spring meetings, Be the One Days is a great way to keep awareness high about this important issue all year long. To kick off Be the One Days, wear your Be the One gear on Thursday, June 1st, or any month / first moving forward. You can purchase a Be the One shirt or tack through the American Legion Emblem Sales. Ashley, I went to Emblem Sales, and a lot of sizes are sold out, but they're coming back. By the time this gets out, they'll be back, and the tacks are available. Everything's really affordable. Like, the shirts are $10, the tacks are like $2, I think $1.75 or $1.95, nice. Something like that.
What's a tack? A pin?
A pin, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have one right by me, but I have a lot of them. Yeah, I think that this could become our new Red Friday. Be the one first.
Be the one. I like how they use that branding. I was like, I wonder why they picked the first. Oh.
Okay. Oh, I just caught that. I mean,
we're a good pair, Jeff.
A pair of we don't know yet. Jokers or in a card deck? You are a joker, though. That's a compliment for you. For me, it's kind of All right, we're going on to rapid fire number two, and we're going to keep it up because this is supposed to be the most popular part of the show, and we can't let people down. All right, new Legacy Run gear available as online registration continues. This is also from AmericanLegion.org. Online registration remains ongoing for the 2023 American Legion Legacy Run and will go through August 9. So far, 172 registrants for the 5-day 1,100-mile motorcycle ride, which will leave American Legion Post 6 in Kokomo, Indiana on August 20th and travel through Michigan Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee before the final stop at Hendrick Motorsports Campus in Concord. Nope, this is not the wrong state. Concord, North Carolina, on August 24th. The annual motorcycle ride is in the final year of raising money for the American Legion Legacy Scholarship Fund, which provides financial assistance with college for children of U.S. military personnel killed while on active duty on or after September 11, 2001, as well as for the children of post-9/11 veterans with a combined disability rating of 50% or greater by the Department of Veterans Affairs. Last year's ride raised a record $1,324,548. Dollars, the eighth time the Legacy Run has surpassed 1 million. As the start of the Legacy Run gets closer, Emblem Sales has created both a commemorative shirt and long sleeve t-shirt available for purchase. Click here. You can't click on the screen, so don't try it. But you will be able to click in the show notes to see both shirts and order them by July 15 to have them in time for the Legacy Run. So I think it's interesting. They went through this story and talking about the scholarship fund, and it sounds amazing, right? So then you're going, well, why would they get rid of that? But then I'm hearing it's maybe it's a bigger umbrella fund because they're raising so much money. The Veterans and Children's Fund is now going to be the recipient. I wonder what they're gonna, will it be the American Legion VCF ride, or because it's not going to be the Legacy Ride anymore. I don't know.
We'll talk about it when they tell us what the name
is. We will. And I want the scoop. I want it here before it goes anywhere else. That's never going to happen, but I'd like to say it. Okay. Ashley Gudermuth, do you ride a motorcycle?
I am the co-owner of a motorcycle, though my husband would disagree with that. He would say it's his motorcycle, but I believe in marriage. Everything is each other's. And it's also a tremendous albatross. No, I don't, my feet don't reach the pedals.
Oh,
I shouldn't be left under in the responsibility of taking care of a motorcycle, driving a motorcycle. I have no business being around motorcycles.
But you are holding firm that you're a co-owner.
Well, it's in the garage and it's a big one. It's not like a super fast one, but he's had it forever and he will. It's just like trying to get rid of it is like talking to a brick wall. It's an albatross. We've had to move it from place to place. But I'm hopeful, you know.
Well, he is a pilot and Tom Cruise rides one in Top Gun. Yeah, so,
and didn't wear a helmet in Top Gun, which was amazing. I don't know how they got that passed.
There are states, you know, Illinois, I believe, still doesn't.
That
require.
Is crazy.
Yep, doesn't work. And then California, you know, they ride between cars.
Oh, that's, I can't even, they say that that's.
All right, let's go. Let's finish off with rapid fire number. Pew, pew, pew. That would be three. This one's a little gut-wrenching. I think, yep, the video link is in the show notes. This is Army veteran goes viral after he details experience with the VA. This was from Total News, but it really came from the story started on TikTok. A retired Army surgeon has spoken out about his experience at the VA after posting an emotional TikTok video detailing his frustration at receiving ongoing care. Joe Cantisano said that the VA let him down many times over the past few years, but all he wants is continued care from a mental health provider. What that? These doctors keep quitting. They keep switching, he said in a May 17 video. Cantisano said he had communication problems and was informed he would not be able to see a doctor who helped him resolve some issues. Now, I'm not going to the beeping doctor. I don't know to say effing or beeping. You can take them both the same way. And they're going to open Pandora's box again. They're going to want to know everything. So I have to live through getting over that beeping hassle. I just want the care to continue, he said. So basically it's big beef and it's understandable. I've gone through it way lesser degrees. I'd never, only recently have I seen the same primary care doctor at the VA more than once. They're always going in and out. So his beef is that they give him somebody, he works through describing the events that have led to him needing this care, and it's a torturous journey for him to relive that to a new person over and over and over again before they can get to the actual work of helping him deal with that. So heartbreaking. He's in his car, and this is a man, he's otherwise living what appears to be a very productive life. He's a very big bodybuilding guy. I think he's amateur, but he's very into it, you can tell, and he's does a lot of activities and such. But he was breaking down in the car, breaking down into tears that were, if somebody was there, it would have been inconsolable, because of the thought of having to take himself through what he went through again for a stranger in a room who may not be around to help him much longer. And he's going to have to rinse and repeat and do it over and over and over again. And I think you said that you could only watch bits of it, right?
Oh yeah. It's very, very emotional, and I get it. You having to retell your story, and it's a traumatic story over and over again. How is that helpful at all? Why are there these revolving doors of doctors? I mean, I guess when you think about it, it's got to come down to like not wanting to deal. The doctors that work for the VA probably have to go through the same bureaucratic nonsense as well, and they get burned out and move on to the next thing, right? So it's just terrible. You want people to, it shouldn't be that hard, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes like here, we have medical schools, we have multiple medical schools here, and it's probably their first job, or they're on rotation or residency or whatever they're doing, their out date is built in. So mm-hmm. they're there, and then they're just gonna not be. So it's, and when we went through it, I actually sent on LinkedIn to, one of our former guests, Trina Clayu at Given Hour, because they specialize in matching people up for long-term care with donated pro bono, if it fits for therapists. I don't know if it does. With donated time from therapists in different communities around the country. And she said that she had already heard that he had gotten so much attention and offers for help from that video that he was no longer needed. But I'm this is another thing. I'm just glad we're on that we have this show, and that there are resources that are so powerful that I remember them and could send, you know, I don't know that guy though, but I was like, maybe we could somehow get you guys connected, try to figure it out. But I love our guests that we have on here, and I love the work that they do, and I love that we know them, right?
Yeah, we can connect people and put it all together. I hope that the VA addressed it in some way.
I'm sure that he did. And my next step, the guy took the original video down. He's since reposted it with an update. But then I was thinking that we've had Vet Center guests as well. And I think the Vet Center would probably have been a better VA fit for him. And maybe I'm hoping that's where they steered him, just to the Vet Center. Cause I think you can get some longer term care with a consistent therapist and all of that. Anyway, so Average Florida Man, you probably aren't listening, but if you are, I hope that things are going well. I hope that you know that you've inspired other people to not only speak out, but self-advocate for themselves in a way that's going to be helpful for the entire community. All right. Do you have a shout out?
Nope.
Which is funny. You always say you don't have shout outs, but you gave like three during the first story.
I sneak them in.
Yeah, but this is where they're looking for them. I want to shout out two listeners, actually one's a listener, Jared and Amy Muse in Iowa. Jared texted me yesterday, actually. He goes, "What's this I hear about you bad mouthing veterans watching movies or something like that?" And he goes, "Because Amy says you do." And I'm like, "It's true. Veterans are the worst at this. I can't watch a war movie or a military movie, even if it's a comedy, with veterans because they criticize everything in a way that doctors don't do, police officers don't do, lawyers don't do. Nobody criticizes movies expecting entertainment to be documentary level accuracy more than a veteran does. I'm just saying, it's one of our things that we do. Even though I did it to Top Gun with the guy that had the glasses and then the, which I was then corrected. Do you know that they now allow people to be military pilots as long as they're correctable to 2020? They can wear glasses now.
Yeah. My husband wears reading glasses.
Not when he flies.
Yeah. They prescribe him. There's actual flying glasses. They're expensive.
Yeah. Good thing the government's paying for it. All right. There we go. We're done. Well, we're not done. You have things to say. I know. Mm-hmm. It's bursting out of you.
Hey, everybody. Just remember to please subscribe to the Tango Alpha Lima podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume those podcasts. Please leave us a review and give us a big old 5-star rating. And if you don't, the next time you go to the grocery store, I'll make sure that when you take a grape to test it, you know, whenever you sneak grapes, I've seen you sneak grapes and little bits of fruit and vegetables because you're like, oh, I'm just tasting it. You know what a grape tastes like, Tim. Okay. I'm going to make sure that the cameras see you and I'm going to make sure that the manager pulls you aside and then publicly shames you. And you're not going to like it. And it's going to really bring back some childhood trauma because your mom ate those grapes too. And they weren't organic. And I know you're not into that, but you should be. I just want the world to know how much you love us. So 5 stars would be great. And if you have a guest recommendation, go to legion.org/tango-alpha-lima. Click on the suggest a guest link. Maybe you could suggest that manager that pulled you aside and then the security guard that escorted you to your car. I'd like to talk to them too. Talk to you soon. Love you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen of Alpha Town and Legion Town, we bid you farewell for another day. I hope that you've learned a lot from April about how to generate, traffic and new memberships for your post. And I hope you've learned a lot from Ashley about not stealing. And let's just call it what it is, stealing fruit. It's small fruit, but it's just like stealing a big cantaloupe or something. Yeah. You stole it.
You stole it.
And you should pay for it. And with that bit of advice and judginess, I'm going to declare season 4, episode 162, mission complete.